Time to meet the men from the ministry. We're all set once again for a quick sprint down the corridors of power with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. This program is a tribute to those special people who work in government offices and to the many others who just spend their days there. Their life is built on comradeship, executives and secretaries working together for a common goal, and friendships quickly blossom.
Come along now, don't be shy. I've got something special for you. Don't you fancy a little nibble?
Oh, I'm back, Mildred. Good Lord. What are you doing on your hands and knees?
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Lennox Brown. I'm giving Engelbert his lunch.
Oh, I see, yes. Who's Engelbert?
Well, he's a mouse, isn't he? Oh, he's gone now. You've frightened him.
And a good job, too. You shouldn't encourage vermin. Cunning little rats, these mice.
I was just giving him a couple of biscuits. They were in your out tray, so I thought you'd done with them.
Biscuits? Out tray?
Your crackers.
What? Yes. Well, now, don't waste valuable ministry time, Mildred. You've more important things to do.
Oh, don't worry, sir. The kettle is on.
Good. I need reviving. Yes, I've just had a rather painful hour with the permanent undersecretary.
Oh, law.
Our esteemed colleague, Mr. Lamb, has managed to bungle another job.
What, again?
Yeah, you wouldn't think it's possible, would you? He's like a bull with his own travelling china shop.
He was helping the Ministry of Transport, wasn't he?
He was, Mildred, yes, if helping is the appropriate word. They told him to reroute some traffic through Covent Garden.
Through the market, you mean?
Yes, Mildred, that is what they meant. Mr. Lamb misunderstood and rerouted the traffic through Covent Garden Opera House. Yes, the leading soprano had to sing her aria on top of a cartload of Brussels sprouts.
Oh.
The tenor sang I Fear No Foe in Armour Bright and some are hit it with a tin of corned beef.
I suppose they had more carmen than they bargained for.
Mildred, please, it's no laughing matter.
I'm sorry, sir. I bet Sir Gregory was angry.
Angry? He was beside himself. Beside himself! And what an ugly pair they looked.
Yes. Where's Mr. Lamb now?
Well, I was carrying out a little task for civil service maintenance, a simple matter of buying some carpet.
Oh, well, he couldn't possibly bungle that. Could he?
Oh, no. He just has to buy some light Wilton carpet for every office in Whitehall.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Well, there's been a slight surplus of money this year, you see. It's very important we spend it or next year's budget gets cut.
Will we be getting new carpet?
No, not immediately, Mildred. The idea is to get the stuff while the money's there and store it in the ministry's basements till later. Lamb was to have it delivered today before the end of the financial year.
Oh. I'll go and fetch the tea, sir.
Yes, thank you very much, Mildred.
Here I am, Ron. The stuff's arrived and it's all down in the basements like you told me.
Well, I can hardly believe it.
I don't know why everyone's so rude about my work. Lots of people make mistakes.
Yes, but to make as many as you do takes an expert.
Well, some people appreciate me. I came up in the lift with that nice Mr. Crawley from the office next door.
Old Creepy Crawley? Well, what did he have to say then?
He asked me to what I attributed my success.
Oh, yes.
I said three things, the most important being my excellent memory.
And the other two?
Those I couldn't recall.
Lovely cup of char. And a donut for you, Mr. Lamb.
Well, I must say I really deserve it. I've just finished a completely successful job, Mildred. Sir Gregory will be thrilled.
Well, talk of the devil. Good morning, Sir Gregory.
Oh, how nice to see you, sir. Please come in.
Can we press you to a donut, Sir Gregory?
Are you all right, sir? You seem rather quiet.
I am speechless, Lennox Brown. I'm going to get to the bottom of this if it kills you.
Well, thank you.
Did you tell Lamb to spend this year's budget surplus and have the purchases stored in the basements?
I did, Sir Gregory, yes.
And what precisely were your orders?
I told him to buy £1,000 worth of light Wilton for each ministry.
Oh dear.
You misheard, didn't you, Lamb? You didn't get light Wilton, did you?
No.
No. Tell us what you bought instead.
£1,000 worth of ripe Stilton.
Oh, glory. Lamb, in all my years in public service, I have never encountered such asinine incompetence.
Don't try to hide it, Sir Gregory. You're cross, aren't you?
Cross. Cross? I'll murder you. I'll shake you till the sawdust runs out of your ears. I'll throttle you.
No, Sir Gregory, please. No, please. Remember your blood pressure. Look, we'll soon get rid of the cheese, sir, and we'll throw it away.
You will not throw it away, Lennox Brown.
We'll not throw it away now.
That cheese costs public money. It will stay in the basement till you have sold it at a profit.
But the smells are...
That's your problem. I'll be away till Thursday. Have the cheese sold and removed by then, or I'll do you a mischief with that fire extinguisher.
Oh, this is the end, too.
I'm sorry, Juan. I misunderstood your orders.
The whole ministry is beginning to talk about you, you know.
Not everyone thinks I'm hopeless. I told you, Mr. Crawley quite admires me. And he laughs at my jokes. He says I'm a great wit.
Well, he's half right.
I must say, I've never seen Mr. Lamb work so hard. I mean, since Sir Gregory shouted at him yesterday, he's been really trying.
Mr. Lamb has always been very trying.
No, I mean, he's doing his best to get rid of that stuff. He's been on the phone all morning.
Yeah, well, where is he now?
Well, he and Mr. Crawley are going round the corridors with an air freshener. He said a little squirt would make life more pleasant.
Well, he's never made my life pleasant. Worst of it is, Sir Gregory almost blames me. I sometimes wonder why I stay here.
What about your pension?
That's why I stay here.
Never mind, eh? Have a biscuit with your elevenses. We've still got some of them chalky ones.
Oh.
Here we are.
Yes, well, thank you, Mildred, thank you. Oh, yes, and then I want to fix that curtain rail.
Oh, yeah. I wondered why you brought the hammer.
Yes, well, I thought, you see, the difference... Good grief. These biscuits have been got at.
Got at, sir?
Well, look, the paper's been nibbled away and there are teeth marks on the biscuit box.
Well, you can't blame Mr. Lamb for that. Well, at least I don't think you can.
No, Mildred, it's that wretched mouse you've been encouraging. He's been at these biscuits.
Oh, yeah, I believe you're right. Blooming cheek.
Yes, well, that does it, Mildred. No more feeding mice in this office. We'll have to find some way to get rid of the blighter.
Oh, it's a shame. He was such a sweet little chap.
Quick, pass me the unnibbled biscuits before Mr. Lamb gets back for his elevenses. That mouse has definitely got to go. Nasty little pest.
Well, that's a good job done, Mr. Crawley. Not that my colleague will appreciate it. He never appreciates anything I do.
Oh, don't you worry, Mr. Lamb. It's a long road that has no what's-his-name. That's what I always say.
Lennox Brown even said that he'd like to get rid of me. Do you know, if we listen outside the door, I bet they're saying something nasty about me behind my back. Shh, just listen.
You really think we should get rid of him?
We must get rid of him. He's a nuisance and a menace.
Yeah, what did I tell you? They are talking about me.
Nibbling my biscuits is the last straw.
I never touched his rotten biscuits. I've got my own.
I can't understand why you've encouraged him.
Well, I felt sorry for him, I suppose. I mean, he looks so pathetic when his little nose twitches.
Well, I think he's repulsive, disgusting, scuttling about with those beady little eyes.
He's been very personal.
And what about his filthy habits? Have you seen what he did behind the filing cabinet?
What's he on about?
Must be my chewing gum.
Vermin like that are a hazard to health. Oh, yes, he's definitely got to go.
Oh, well, I suppose it'll be a release in a way. He doesn't have much of a life here.
Yes, the question is how. Well, all in all, I suppose poison's the answer.
Poison?
Or some sort of trap. A good sharp blow would kill him instantly.
Yes, but that could be messy, you know. Mm. Tell you what, we'll start with poison, and if he won't take it, we'll try something more violent.
I think there's some poison in the cupboard.
Good, good. No time like the present.
You look all of a quiver, Mr. Lamb. Quick, you come away from there. There's an open window along here. You'd better get some fresh air.
I can't believe it. They want to kill me.
No, Mr. Lamb, don't climb out of the window. You'll fall and break your what's-his-name.
I've got to get out of here.
That would only make things worse. Running away doesn't solve anything.
Doesn't it?
You've got to go back into that office and face them. Yeah. Take your what's-his-name in both hands. Mm-hmm. Pretend you don't suspect anything. Just act normally. Find out what their plans are.
There, that should do it. Oh, hello. That sounds like Mr. Lamb coming back. I'll pour his elevenses.
Oh, there you are, too. Come in. We've been waiting for you.
You have? You have?
Here you are. I've got your elevenses all ready for you.
No!
What?
No elevenses for me, thanks. I'm slimming.
Slimming? Oh, you don't want to bother with that rubbish. Life's too short.
Is it?
Now, come along. Come on, drink it up.
No, honestly.
Oh, drink it up, too. Mildred poured it for you specially.
All right. Oh!
What's wrong with you? You've spilled it on your geranium.
Sorry, I slipped. Look, the geranium's wilting.
Well, you'd wilt if someone poured boiling hot coffee on your petals. Honestly.
Well, that's enough of that nonsense. I've got a job to do and I might as well get on with it. Pass me the hammer, Mildred.
A hammer?
Yes, it's curtains too. Shouldn't take long.
No, please, spare me. I'm too young to die.
Pull yourself together and come down off that desk.
Not the hammer one. I'd sooner take the poison.
Oh, there's none left, Mr. Lamb. We put it all down for the mouse.
Couldn't I just resign? Mouse? Did you say mouse?
That's right. He's been nibbling the biscuits.
Has he got beady eyes and a twitchy nose?
Of course he has. Ever such a titchy-witchy nose.
Oh, there we are. That's the curtain rail fixed. Now then, too, what on earth was all the fuss about?
Well, I thought, that's to say, well, you'd hardly believe it, but, I thought you were planning to kill me.
Kill you? Dear chap, what an extraordinary idea. I know I was pretty cross with you, but, I mean, when all's said and done, I wouldn't actually kill you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Can't have civil servants murdering each other. Could be questions in the house.
I'll try to do better in the future.
Good, good, and I'll try and help you. Okay. Teamwork now, too, teamwork.
Yes.
That's what the civil service calls for, teamwork and friendship. Just you concentrate on getting rid of that cheese before Sir Gregory gets back on Thursday.
Oh, yes, man, I will, yes, I will.
Splendid. Still, I'll keep the hammer by me in case you bungle something else. Morning, Mildred. Morning. Sorry I'm late. A little trouble getting on my train this morning.
Oh?
Yes, must have been a new driver. It stopped 10 yards further along than usual.
Is that bad?
It was rather unfortunate. There we all were, lined up on the edge of the platform, reading our newspapers. We all stepped forward in the usual way. The last 40 commuters fell on the line.
Shame. Well, never mind. I've got the kettle on.
Ah, good. Sir Gregory's back today, isn't he?
Yes, sir. I just saw him. He didn't look too pleased.
Yes, typical. Well, he'll be here any moment wanting to know what we've done about that Stilton.
All our troubles are over, Juan. I've sold the cheese.
Well done, too. Well done indeed.
Yeah, I can't think how you managed it. Who on earth bought 8 tons of mouldy cheese?
British Rail, of course. For their station buffets.
Very good thinking, too. That's a very shrewd move, yes.
Thank you, Annan. Yes. How about your mouse problem?
Oh, we haven't seen Engelbert for days, Mr. Lamb. He seems to have gone of his own accord.
So, things are looking up all round. I told you, too, what we need is teamwork and friendship.
Lennox Brown, Lamb.
Oh, good morning, Sir Gregory.
Oh, be quiet, Lennox Brown.
There's no need to be angry, Sir Gregory. I've sold the cheese and everything's sorted out. What we need is fretwork and steamship.
I realize you've now sold the cheese, Lamb, at last, but it's been down there the best part of a week, with the result that the whole of Whitehall is swarming with mice.
Mice, Sir Gregory? We haven't seen any. Well, only one, and he lives here.
The mice aren't up here in the attics yet. They made for the cheese in the basements.
So that's where Engelbert went.
But the cheese was removed this morning.
Exactly, and that's why the mice are now swarming all over the buildings.
Good. Grief, a plague of mice.
In some offices, secretaries are standing on the desks holding their skirts up. In other offices, executives are standing on the desk holding their secretaries up.
Oh, glory.
Large numbers of mice actually penetrated the canteen and stayed there until they tasted the food.
Perhaps they'll go away now the cheese is gone.
They will not go away till you get rid of them. Yes. And they're not just in this building. They're all over Whitehall. They've even got into the House of Commons.
Oh, Lord. Mice gnawing at the seat of government.
Yeah,
they're making such a noise, a lot of members can hardly sleep.
Oh, dear.
Well, this is your problem, you two. These are your mice brought here by your cheese. It's up to you to get rid of them.
But I don't know anything about mice, Sir Gregory.
Then you'd better learn, quick. There are holes in the floor. That's where the mice are coming from. You'll have to stuff them with cement.
But they'd never keep still long enough, would they?
Don't say another word, Lamb. Just keep out of my sight until you and Lennox Brown have got rid of every mouse in Whitehall. Now get on with it.
What can we do about the mice?
Well, as I know nothing about them and you know nothing about anything, we'll need advice from an expert.
Oh, good idea. Mildred, pass me the trade directory. Let's have a look through the yellow pages. Now then, laundries, lepidopterists, mountain removals. Ah, here we are. Mouse expert, Mr. Cameron, Hampstead Court, Richmond.
Ah, well now, cancel appointments for the rest of the morning, Mildred. We must go and see this Cameron fellow at once.
Are you busy, Mr. Cameron?
No, come in, Finlay. Well,
I've just had a phone call from Lady O'Grady. She asked me to thank you for all you've done for her pet mice.
They're quite recovered, are they? She gave them the white powder.
Oh, yes, she's delighted. They're breeding like rabbits, she says. Your white powder's done them a world of good.
It seldom fails. I think this calls for a celebration, Finlay. You'll take a dram.
Ooh, thank you, Mr. Cameron. And there are two gentlemen from Whitehall to see you.
Oh, show them in, Finlay, show them in. No doubt they have sick mice too. We must do our best for the poor wee creatures.
Come in, gentlemen. Mr. Cameron, we'll see you now.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Cameron. My name is Lennox Brown. This is my junior colleague here. This is Mr. Lamb.
Take a seat, gentlemen, take a seat.
We have a mouse problem, Mr. Cameron.
Uh-huh.
Yes, things are really quite serious, you know. We don't know what to do.
So as a last resort, we've come to you.
There's only one answer, man. A wee box of my white powder.
Ah, yeah, white powder. Yes. We have to put it down for them.
Yeah? That should do the trick.
Yeah, we'll need rather a lot. You see, there are a great many mice.
Oh, I can give you my bumper bargain box and the tartan wrapper. I think you'll be surprised by the results. Very surprised indeed.
Morning, Mildred. The start of a bright new day.
I hope so, sir. There were still quite a few mice downstairs when I came in.
I ran out of powder just as I reached this building. I put masses down everywhere else in Whitehall. They'll be seeing the effects by now.
Morning to all. Morning, Mildred.
Sir?
Still some mice about, I'm sorry to see.
I was telling Mildred one, I didn't have quite enough powder to do this building, but all the other ministers will be seeing a dramatic change.
Ah, good. And you'll get some more stuff today and do the same for us, eh?
Yeah, that's right. The mice will be a thing of the past.
Yes, well done, well done. So all's well that ends well, then, eh? Yes. Oh, I can't wait to see Sir Gregory's face.
Lennox Brown! Lamb!
Yes, well, I could wait it a bit longer. Well, now, don't worry, Sir Gregory. I know there's still a few mice in this building, but, you know, in the rest of Whitehall, things are fine, fine. By now, there won't be a single mouse.
Oh, that's true, Lennox Brown. All the mice have married and produced large families.
It's very amusing, Sir Gregory.
It is not amusing.
It is not amusing.
The whole area is swarming with mice. They're teeming over Westminster Bridge like the tide coming in, as if something were attracting them. There are 10 times as many as before. Some are even arriving by train from Scotland.
Could we possibly have made a boo-boo?
Well, now, there may have been a slight error, Sir Gregory, but we'll soon put it right, sir. Oh, we'll get rid of those mice in no time.
You'd better, Lennox Brown, even if you have to kill each one individually with a bow and arrow. This is your last chance.
Just let me get my hands on you.
It's not my fault, man. You were at Mr. Cameron's. You agreed to use the powder.
Wait a minute. You're right. Yes, it's Cameron's fault. Get him on the phone, Mildred, will you?
He's on the line already, sir. I dialed while Sir Gregory was speaking.
Oh, good for you. Yes, right. Well, give me that phone, will you? Hello, Cameron. Now, we used that powder you gave us, and we've 10 times more mice than we had before.
Oh, good, good. I knew you'd be pleased.
Pleased?
Yon powder's just the thing to build them up, you know. Vita Mouse, we call it. You'll have fine, bonny mice for years.
We don't want fine, bonny mice. We want to get rid of the pests.
Get Get rid of them? Oh, dear me, dear me.
Look, we thought you were a mouse expert.
Well, so I am, man, an expert on breeding pet mice.
Oh, Glolly, well, look, can you put us in touch with someone who can poison them?
Man, man, you'll be wasting your time. Once they've taken Vita Mouse, no poison can harm them.
Thank you. The mice are immune to poison.
Excuse me, sir, but there's a much simpler way to get rid of mice.
What's that?
A cat.
By Jove, you're right, you know. Why didn't we think of that?
I mean, keeping a cat's the obvious answer. Like my granny. Chases the mice out into the yard and bites them.
Funny granny.
The cat, Mr. Lamb.
Well, Mildred, perhaps we could borrow your grandmother's cat for a while, could we?
Oh, I'm sure you can.
Yes.
Granny's away at the moment, pony trekking in Wales. Her cat will soon get this place clear.
Yes. Mind you, you know, one cat couldn't catch all the mice in Whitehall, could it?
She'll have to have some help. I'll send a memo to all departments saying that as from tomorrow, every office must have a resident cat.
Splendid!
Better tell them in the memo to get female cats. They're the best mousers.
I'll get on with it straight away. With a cat in every office, everything will be all right.
Well done, Mr. Lamb, and you, Mr. Lennox Brown. Oh, life's been quite different since we had that cat in our office.
Oh, good.
Our window box has never been so good.
Really?
She keeps the pigeons off the peas and the sparrows off the strawberries.
Yes, well, these fringe benefits are very pleasant, Mr. Crawley, but the main thing is the cat's got rid of the mice.
Yeah, they've all gone. There isn't a mouse to be seen anywhere.
Well, it just goes to show, doesn't it? Where there's a will, there's always the what's-his-name. See you at lunch then, Mr. Lamb. Cheery-ho.
Odd chap. I wonder if those sandals are comfortable. By the way, where's our cat, too?
She's asleep in the filing cabinet.
She's where?
In one of the drawers.
The third one down, I suppose. Filed under C for cat.
No. I put her in the drawer marked M for Moggy.
Yes. Well, I think at last we can relax, you know. For once, Sir Gregory has nothing to grumble about. Ah, Sir Grumbly. Sir Gregory. Do come in, sir, won't you? We have good news for you, sir.
Lennox Brown.
Speaking, sir.
And Lamb.
Prisoner correct, sir.
Was it you who sent a memo around Whitehall ordering every government office to keep a cat?
That is quite correct, sir. Yes, yes. We sent that memo, oh, my word,
yes. It was a joint effort, really, Sir Gregory. Teamwork and friendship, that's our motto here.
Well, 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 is that so, Lamb? And in your memo, you specified that every office should have a female cat?
Indeed we did, sir. Yes, they are the best hunters, according to the highest authority on the subject, sir.
Yes, Mildred told us.
So we've got rid of all the mice, sir.
Oh, I'm not disputing that, Lennox Brown.
Yes.
You've certainly got rid of the mice, but the whole of Whitehall is now overrun with tomcats.
Tomcats, Sir Gregory?
Hundreds of thousands of tomcats from all over London are rushing into the area.
To meet the lady cats in the government offices? Oh, dear.
And here is the news read by John Curle. Traffic in central London was brought to a halt today by huge numbers of cats converging on the Whitehall area. Thousands swarmed down Pall Mall and created a disturbance in the Royal Mews. In the House of Commons, the debate was drowned by the yowling of tomcats in the public gallery. Several fell on Dame Emily Strop, MP for Snedfield and leader of the campaign to bring back the cat. The leader of the opposition made an impassioned speech on the national economy with a black Persian cat sitting on his head and a ginger Tom on each shoulder. He said he hoped the Chancellor would do nothing he might regret, and he felt the same about the cat on his head. There was no reply from the government front bench where two Siamese cats were having kittens, and so was the Prime Minister. A Whitehall spokesman later described the situation as catastrophic.
I must say, when I was surprised how upset people got about those cats, weren't you? I thought we were supposed to be a nation of animal lovers.
Well, they did make difficulties, too. I mean, the noise was bad enough, but they had such peculiar habits. When those toms came charging in, two cats shot straight up my trouser leg.
I suppose you're right. thank heavens it's all behind us.
Yes, I must say that was a real brainwave of yours, borrowing your landlady's Alsatian.
It certainly saw them off, didn't it?
My word.
I've never seen one dog chasing so many cats. They never knew what hit them.
Well, at last it's all over. The cheese is gone, the mice have gone, the cats have gone, and thank heavens the whole rotten week's gone.
It's been a pretty hectic week, hasn't it?
Oh, my word, you can say that again.
It's been a pretty hectic week, hasn't it?
Well, I imagine Sir Gregory will pop in and congratulate us on getting things sorted out.
And I hope he'll return Mrs. Bradby's dog.
Oh, yes.
Here, you better fasten your safety belt. Sir Gregory's coming.
What?
He's running down the corridor like a mad thing.
Hey?
And he looks terrified. I don't know what's come over him.
The dogs! The dogs! Somebody do something!
Hey, dogs, Sir Gregory?
Yeah, they're after me. 100 of them. They tore the seat from my trousers.
Good Lord, I can see your predicament. Yes.
Your fault again, you two.
Our fault, Sir Gregory?
And that blasted Alsatian of yours, it's a bitch. Every dog in London's after her.
Oh, dear. Oh. Here they come.
Quick, two. Run for it.
Gone to the dogs as the men from the ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley and John Graham. The programme was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.